and welcome to episode 163 of the Rustical Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex, and you're with me today. I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Solve Smith,
Ahamatilla Harun Al Tahan,
Sel Sidebottom,
and Azu.
I'd like to table a motion that from now on Hamid has to introduce, because he has the leadership feat, the name of every single other character that he's also responsible for every single time, quickly and efficiently. Anyone going to second?
I'll start training.
Good, good to know. Hi, I'm Hamid Salad, and this is the Dragonettes. Okay, so.
Hamid Salah Harun Al Taham, Skrok, Dral, Natan, Tadika, Driak, Sasra, Mick.
Okay, when you can double time it, I am going to applaud you on air.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, but I'll get there if you really want that.
He will rise to your challenge.
So we are going to pick up where we left off, which is everyone making a big song and dance about not wanting to die on the airship, which is flying perfectly well and was technically within tolerances from a certain point of view. Okay? So I'm trying to give you a restful journey. I really am.
No, you're not. That is a lie.
That's what it looks like to me. I'm getting you there quicker. That's a good thing.
Flames are rising.
I am going to lay some stuff out on the table now, and we're going to have to go a little bit meta at the start of this episode, and then we can dive into some fun RP and stuff like that. So,
not meta.
This journey, even at your accelerated speed, is going to take a couple of weeks at least. You are making fabulous speed if this can be sustained, like really good speed. However, A, it's quite far, and B, you are going to be travelling across lands that have never been travelled across, and where people who have travelled across die a lot. Sometimes they freeze to death, sometimes the airship just stops working and no one ever found out why, because no one survived to explain why. There are creatures, there are monsters, there is a reason that meritocrats just saw this vast horizon and went, nah.
So wait, are we cutting through Russia and Siberia?
Yes.
Right, cool.
You are going to be cutting through the northern wastes. You are also basically going to be cutting north of, like, the UK, if you see what I mean.
According to Google, it is exactly 6,750 kilometres.
There you go.
Wow.
And yeah, it sort of crosses China, Mongolia, and then huge tracts of Russia. But you end up, I mean, if you take the shortest possible route, you actually end up cutting north over Finland and Norway and Sweden even. You don't even cross Scandinavia, but I guess we may stay slightly closer to civilization and then swing up at the last minute, depending on.
But what I am leading to on the meta side is it's a big journey, okay? And as it's a big journey, there is a lot of downtime, which means I'm going to be accelerating time frequently. Obviously, stuff is going to be happening, but at the same time, from a, you know how you don't like the breathe in, breathe out questions from my end? At the same end, if you try to RP every single meal, it will take us 2 weeks. So it's going to be an element of us picking our moments.
Fine, I won't do any slow burn romances.
Oh, no, they're fine. It's just that what I'm going to do is I'm going to montage them.
Can't montage a slow
burn.
The point of a slow burn is that it's 300,000 words before they kiss.
Yes.
You just do a supercut of meaningful glances and skip to the end, okay?
Terrible fanfic.
Click, 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 click.
That is an accurate summation.
Helen is a ship sommelier and you're coming at her with this bottom of the barrel. Just,
you want romance, you can buy it by the litre like everyone else.
This is like the Tesco, like where it says white cooking wine.
Yeah. Alex is the economy bag wine of fanfiction.
Grape flavoured alcohol, that's what we're all going to be on.
Your vodcat.
So with that in mind, I would like to know at the start, before things develop and so on, a basic statement of intent from everyone about what, if there's anything that you want to be achieving, either as a player or a character over this journey. So I will give an example. For Carter, it will be don't get caught.
Oh no.
Yeah.
As a hypothetical.
Oh yeah.
So with that in mind, if anyone doesn't have one, I'd recommend having a bit of a mull, but if anyone does have one, do go first. Having a statement of intent is going to be useful because it'll give me something to latch onto as I generate these things.
So I think mine's going to be quite short because, you know, I've been doing a lot of conversation time recently. I think at this point, like, Zolf is pretty chill, like there is a clear goal, we have an objective, which is the kind of stuff that tends to send him spiraling if we don't have that. So his main objective is like trying to slowly ease Earhart out of the self-destructive behavior, like keeping an eye on her, and if she goes too far, it's mutiny like that.
Sure.
But would rather she backs off from sod it, you know, I'm going to turn the ship into a bomb and fire it into Geeves' mouth, whether I'm on it or not, sort of attitude to something a little more reasonable. But other than that, like, for other people, Zolf is, like, seems a lot more content and open to talk and things. Like, he's not being horribly standoffish or weirdly grumpy or anything like that.
Understood. Anyone else?
Azu is probably going to join in with Zolf on keeping an eye on Earhart, because Azu thought it had gone really well, and then Earhart just went off the rails, and now Azu's like, oh dear, maybe we should have picked someone else out of the squad.
Well, to be fair, out of the one person that we had the option to pick, right?
Yes. However, I don't think anyone has actually told Azu about the mutiny plan, so for her it's just
this is fine. Everyone else just doesn't notice how bad this is.
That's fair, actually. Yeah. I Ben had forgotten that, but I will bring Azu in to this as of, so that's maybe the one conversation line.
No,
I
was thinking it would be an interesting character choice, and you're like, oh, paladins won't be down with a mutiny.
No, but it's like a self-care mutiny.
It is. Oh yeah,
it's less
saying
of a mutiny and more of an intervention.
Yeah, I'm saying really. That would be your thought process. Azu would totally mutiny.
No, no. Like, I think genuinely, like, Zolf. Like,
it's an intervention. Yeah. Walk the plank.
We really think you've been going for that white whale, maybe a little bit too much. All right.
Maybe just start at a grey whale and work your way up. Yeah. You know.
Right.
But as a genuine, like, character thing, I think Zolf trusts Azu's judgment enough to bring her in on this. It's not like,
aww,
it's not one of the paladins that you have to be like kid gloves. You know, Azu is pretty pragmatic, so
that means
he would
a
be
lot.
Happy to bring her in.
Yeah, so that's going to be number one, looking after Earhart. Number two, get to know everyone. She's going to obviously hang out with Hamid lots. Going to hang out with Sel. Naturally, she's going to be hanging out with Zolf, because they're both sort of surreptitiously watching Earhart, like, mm-hmm, in shit.
Is there lots of, like, us sitting on a bench both reading a Campbell novel, and then we're both, like, looking over the top of it, like,
We've cut little holes.
No, you do not cut holes in do not disrespect Campbell like that, okay? How dare
okay,
you?
Okay, I take it back, I'm sorry. But yeah, and she's going to try and get to know Barnes, and not Carter, and also the rest of the crew. Maybe not the smelly old man, but Mr. Big Arms and the singing lady.
Smelly old man might be nice, not a romantic interest, but he might be a lovely, interesting individual.
Azu shallow, canon.
Yeah. No! How well,
you said
dare.
You said you didn't want to get notes. You know, what we've seen in text, like the textual facts are, you know, piling up here.
I'm not making accusations. I'm just spitting truths.
I wrote down to Sigif, smelly old man chews tobacco.
I mean, that is an accurate description, I think.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy win. Like, he's not necessarily someone who I would immediately try and make a pass at, but who knows?
Okay, I'll revise. She will attempt to talk to him, but we'll see if that if he continues being taciturn or not.
In which case, then, I got two more party members left to account for.
Sel is going to be extremely unsubtly concerned about Earhart. Like, Sel is pretty convinced that this attitude will get them killed extremely quickly. This is not a wait-and-see situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at the moment that Earhart is, say, asleep, or when Sel does not need to be worrying about that, over the longer term, they're extremely interested in getting to know people and hearing more of these juicy backstories, because, whoa, these people have been busy. Like, Sel thought they had stories, but whoa, this is some good stuff.
It feels like you fit 5 years worth of stuff into all of 3 days.
This is a lot. There's a lot to hear about, and, you know, they're here for it. And, yeah, polishing their draconic and being very friendly with the kobolds.
I'm going to tell you now, by the end of this journey, you'll be fluent.
I mean, they probably already are, by, like, mechanically.
Mechanically, you're basically there. In which case, then, that leaves Hamid.
Hamid is going to mostly avoid Earhart. He has no interest in trying to appease another racist in his life.
There.
He is, however, going to watch for how she is treating the kobolds. And if she treats them with disrespect or, you know, cruelty, he is going to step in and, you know, he kind of has an itchy trigger finger. You know, he might, if that kind of goes wrong, he might need to be restrained because he's on a bit of a hair trigger with the potential for her to mistreat the kobolds.
And for somebody who can cast Scorching Ray, woof.
Yeah.
Now, Bryn, just to be aware, you may not have considered this, but with air travel the way it is, if someone was to, for instance, lose their temper, it could be really bad for the party and it could even lead to a party split. So, you know, just keep an eye on that. Don't be that guy, you know?
I don't know anything about what's going on here.
You don't even get to blame it on Grizzle, because it was Zolf and history's just gone full circle.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Other than that, Hamid is very keen to have some proper socialising time in a lower stress environment with everyone involved. Given previous conversations with Barnes and Carter, he's not really interested in getting to know either of them terribly much better, but he is interested in getting to know all three members of the party better, rebonding with Zolf after, you know, some tense times and that all the time apart. He wants to hear all about what happened to Zolf in the 18 months. Reaffirming his bond with Azu and just getting to know each other better because they care about each other a lot, but they don't necessarily know each other's past that well.
Yeah, true.
And he is really wants to make better friends with Sel because they've had an awesome time working together, and he's very excited about blowing stuff up together, basically, once they're back on dry land, as it were. He'd like to get to know the crew, the other three members of the crew. He doesn't have any particular... he's not particularly more interested in any one of them than the others, but he wants to know them and understand them a bit, especially because of the risk of potential mutiny. He'd like to be able to kind of understand what might happen and how they might feel about it. He's also keen to get to know the kobolds as individuals. What he'd really like to do is, if he's got multiple weeks, is to encourage each of the kobolds to become more of their own person, so they're not so interchangeable, so they're not necessarily, you know, like right now we do refer to them, and we probably will continue to, as just the kobolds, as like a homogenous group, but he'd like to encourage them to have, you know, a bit more individuality and to express that, and to he'd like to basically coach them to have a bit more self-belief and self-confidence in the way that Skrark does, because Skrark is very much his own person now and frequently disagrees with Hamid, and he'd like the other kobolds to feel confident enough to do the same.
Can I, before we, like, underline, given previous rules I had about no romance for Sasha, that Sel is very not held by that rule.
Understood.
Like, that's not a barrier. In fact, they have very few barriers.
Okay, thank you for that, everyone. That is a lot of things that I can now sabotage. I appreciate that. Okay. With that in mind, then...
Can I just remind you of the Alexander J. Newell quote, part-time nightmare merchant, full-time sweetheart?
I know.
I will be holding you to that or sue you for false advertising.
I know what I wrote. In fact,
you are not part-time. you are not part-time anywhere.
you have a double life.
Yeah. That is an accurate statement. Yeah. That, in fact,
overtime nightmare mention.
In fact, that when I wrote it, I was like, "This is a lie," and then did it anyway. So, I am gonna say a couple of things. On the first couple of days, there is no chance for any kind of social interaction whatsoever, because Earhart is drilling everyone into a crew, and that includes the four party members.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You do not have a say. There is no capacity for passengers on this vessel.
Yeah.
As such, all of you are being worked hard. She is not...
Sorry, just speaking of hard work as well, I've realised we don't necessarily have a ship's cook, and I'm going to do as much of that as I can do while still being an effective first mate.
Understood.
Sel can... I mean, it's alchemy, basically. It's like basic alchemy. It's alchemy. Sometimes your cakes explode.
Sel, what is this? It's an efficient casserole. Okay. So what that means is everyone is worked hard and, like, hit the hammocks... asleep for the first couple of days. What I am going to do is something that I've never done before. Everyone gets a free skill rank.
Ooh.
Profession: airship crew.
Ooh, I don't like that, because that implies that profession sailor is less effective because of the existence of an alternative. Oh dear.
So, what that does mean is I would like people to... This is strictly for fluff, don't worry. I'd like people to pick a proficiency in terms of, like, what is the bit that you're most responsible for? However immaterial it is, like, even if Hamid is just, you're going to be stitching a lot of sails, I don't really care. But what is the thing that you end up being best at out of the group, or at least having a penchant for?
Hamid takes to navigation. He spent his first year at Cambridge University studying mathematics before he switched to magic. So he has a background in mathematics. He has the instinctual ability of understanding flight and therefore air currents. And he ends up taking to both those aspects and combining them into a sort of, like, he can't necessarily do the mechanical side of flying, but he can sort of, he can navigate a bit, and he can he doesn't know how to sail the ship as such, but he can be like, well, it's going to be better if we head east by an extra couple of degrees to go round the next storm, or because the air currents over the Himalayas will be, this way, it'd be better if we were a bit, 100 miles further north when we're going past this bit and stuff like that.
I will skip a little bit to say Earhart does not like it. She initially grills you and second guesses you to the point where you're just going to snap. And then eventually begrudgingly has to start backing off as more than once you're correct. So not in the case of, like, you've completely shown her up or anything, but enough that she at least backs off.
I'm not going to be particularly combative with her about any aspect other than how she treats the kobolds. So, like, the first few times I'll press my point a little and then back off, because I don't want to create a confrontation, but I'm very, very much not going to let her get away with mistreating the kobolds. That's the one issue we might snap over, but any other issue, Hamid is more likely to back down. Like, he'll make his case clear. He'll be like, this is what I think, this is what I've calculated, I'm pretty sure, but if you disagree that strongly, then you are the captain. If you see what I mean?
At no point has she ever demanded, like, overruled you when you know you're right.
Yeah.
But what she has done is go, check your working, and then you'll check your working, and then she'll go, check it again. When it comes to the kobolds, if I'm honest, the kobolds are treating Skrark as basically first mate. To be clear, Ben, Skrark is not creating any issues with Zolf.
Oh, I didn't expect them to listen to me. I mean, I don't actually share a language with them, so it's quite difficult to...
That's fine. Their Japanese is improving.
I don't speak it, so cool.
Okay, in which case then, anyone else? Roles. Zolf, you've already covered, obviously.
Sel will be chief engineer, I assume.
That's fine. I assumed as much, I just didn't want to presume.
Yeah.
And Azu?
I've decided she'll be good at, like, reading the skies for, like, upcoming storms and weather and stuff like that.
Okay. Give me a second to parse that.
So, like, provides the data that Hamid then crunches.
I mean, it sounds like a lookout to me.
Storm seer.
Well, what's the name of the person who's in, like, the crow's nest, right? They
do lookout.
Have a lookout.
Lookout.
Yeah.
What I've written is weather girl.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Now I'm seeing you as Karen from Mean Girls. And there's a 30% chance that it's already raining.
Azu, what do your orc eyes see? Well, there's a cold front coming in on an eastern. Okay, I'm going to make that lookout because there's a common lookout, misconception that the lookout is just meant to be there to, like, spot land and stuff, but that was originally their goal.
Yeah, weather girl / lookout.
Just like the idea, because we're shipping, you're doing the shipping forecast. Gale increasing.
Yeah, because to me it makes sense because she would have had to, like, keep an eye on the farm for, like...
Yeah. It does scan, it's fine. Although in this situation, the shipping forecast with Azu is far more likely to be... Hamid tumbling, Zolf prominent.
Rude. I don't read that, Campbell, in public, all right?
That's a private Campbell. Yeah. Okay, in that case then, I'm going to say 3 days into the journey then, Earhart has been keeping herself to herself apart from giving
instructions. Oh my god, I forgot one other thing.
Oh, go on.
Mm-hmm. I want to get to know Wilde better. Mm-hmm. He's here too. And I want to understand what happened to him, the poor man.
So, I am going to say that for the first 3 days, there is no opportunity for any of this, to be clear. Like, you are being run ragged, but for what it's worth, despite being a problem, she's a good teacher, Earhart. She teaches well, but she doesn't suffer fools. So, at the end of the 3 days, Earhart summons everyone on deck to have a sort of party-wide discussion. The presumption, by the way, here is that there is not an autopilot, so someone's manning the helm, but it's literally everyone can hear, it doesn't matter. So, with that in mind, Earhart summons everyone together, and Zolf will have been warned about this. She's basically needing now to do a mission briefing with everyone about what to expect, problems to anticipate, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everyone. Thanks for coming. I'll keep it brief, as always. couple of things on the manifest, obviously. Please don't head into the cargo bay. I know a couple of people have been poking around. A lot of things in there will explode. Please don't do that. Anyway, we're here to talk about what's going to be coming on the horizon, figuratively speaking, of course. And part of that is discussing the dangers that are inevitable and the dangers that are probable. So, you'll all know that we're traveling somewhere that people either don't go or shouldn't go. As part of that, we are likely to encounter freak weather systems, unusual creatures, and extremely high levels of magical distortion. It is a known fact that magical distortion will affect the ship's systems. There is a chance we may need to put down, do repairs, and set off again. I have flown in this region previously, in the outskirts. The fact that we have... She gives a sort of begrudgingly appreciative nod to Zolf. The fact that we have a spare elemental is going to be a heck of a useful situation. The fact that we have three is going to mean things are a lot more stable. But we are highly likely to encounter things. This is not going to be a straightforward journey. Does everyone understand me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Aye, aye.
Right.
I mean, what probable and possible dangers should we be expecting from you, Captain? And if just, I mean, for clarity.
I feel I've made myself clear previously. We have a primary objective and we have a secondary objective. Our primary objective is to reach Svalbard. We do not sacrifice the primary objective for the secondary objective. The secondary objective is we kill Guivre. To be clear, if it's possible to pursue our secondary objective and at the same time not endanger our primary objective, I expect you all to continue with the work. Rest assured, I'm not going to sacrifice the primary objective for the secondary. I'm not a poor captain. Should you have any further concerns, I have a first mate. That's why they're here.
Aye, Captain.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. So, in terms of preparations to be made, Sel, I expect you to be working with Zolf in terms of getting our systems as resilient as possible, specifically from magical interference. Azu, you seem to be having a predilection towards lookout. Keep an eye out for unusual weather systems. I want to know if there are any fogs immediately.
Okay.
Hamid, we are going to have to tread a fine line between an efficient navigation route and a safe navigation route. We are going to be having to take a few unusual wiggles. You need to trust my judgment when I lay these out to you. I don't need to explain myself to you as to why we are taking this route.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Good. I will, for the sake of speed, say she gives out specific stuff for other crew members as well, but I'm not going to lay them all out because otherwise I'm just going on and on and on. At this stage, I don't think there's much more to address. As always, any problems, you can approach Zolf. That's all for now. Your training is going to be reduced. You may take leisure time at the appointed times. She then turns around and starts heading off to her significantly reduced captain's room, which is basically a hammock and a desk. Mr. Smith, I expect you in my cabin in 5.
Aye, Captain.
She heads off. The rest of the crew. There is a thing that has started happening, which is that everyone in the crew has a tendency, after any time that Earhart's been doing a thing like this, to make eye contact with one another and go... and then go about their work. There's just a shared look with everyone on the ship, and then everyone goes about their work.
Well, that wasn't reassuring.
I'd say it's an improvement.
Could have been a lot worse.
Very much going to get us killed if she thinks that taking the ship to the edges of its tolerance to launch is, and then saying that we can't challenge her on these unusual wiggles, quote unquote. What's to stop her taking us on a wiggle that makes us intercept Guive?
Our collective judgment.
I'm hoping that the launch was a one-off.
I suspect it was. Also, when you're on a ship like this, you need to listen, and there needs to be one voice of authority. This is not, to be clear, although it may be foreign to you, that kind of attitude is normal for a captain. This is not Earhart being explicitly authoritarian or behaving strangely. This is just normal. This is how it works.
I have spent time on ships, Zolf.
All right.
I've travelled and I've worked in groups. I understand that it's about trust. When someone has behaved erratically and appears to have an overriding objective that does not fit with what would keep a group that includes people that we have responsibilities to safe. That is what has me concerned.
That's completely fair, and I have, do you trust me?
Yes.
Sel kind of pauses for a second and looks at you for a long time. Mr. Smith, you have occasionally been overly aggressive and occasionally curt or even rude, but I do believe that the ways that you have acted have been fair and proportionate and sensible. So, yes, I trust you on this.
That's fair enough. Well, I will deal with Earhart.
Okay.
Well, if you need backup.
Oh, I want backup. I'm not saying I'm going to deal with it alone, but good. If you need somebody you can trust, if I can be that person, I will be. That's kind of my role as first mate. Earhart is our only option, but that doesn't mean that I will follow her to our deaths.
It feels to me like being back in the air is starting to mellow her out a little, maybe, but she's still obsessed with her goal. But if what she says is true, and I don't have any reason to doubt that right now, I think we should be okay, and all of us have different areas of oversight. You know, if it comes to, you know, a crisis situation, as Zol says, we're all going to follow her orders, but, you know, in the grander scheme of things, each of us has our own ability to contribute to this vessel and to the decisions made on it. And if any of us feel that she's genuinely endangering our lives completely, then that's, you know, we will be forced to act, but hopefully it won't come to that, I guess. But I do share some of your concerns, Sal.
As do I, to be clear. I need to go see her.
You've got this.
But, yeah, all right, and I'll go.
Okay, so heading to Earhart's cabin?
Yeah.
As you head into the cabin, Earhart gestures you inside. Lock the door.
Right. I'll lock the door.
There is enough space for you to sort of both be in there, if not comfortably, then at least, like, sensibly, not in each other's grill or anything.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith.
Captain.
You've proven yourself previously. I've seen you at your worst on your last journey here. You're a lot better than you were, and God knows I've got reason to trust you. I think there's going to be a mutiny on this vessel, and I need you to help me keep it down.
Right. I think I'm going to have to roll a bluff, right? Like, that's only fair.
I'm going to take a break there, and then we can deal with it.
Okay.
Welcome back. Give me a... Yeah, bluffs probably. If there was ever a chance for it, now's the time.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh, I mean, it still might not be good enough, but 17.
I don't know. Let's find out
together. It's about
together.
As well as I can hope to do, so yeah. I've done everything I can.
Deliver and you'll see if it works.
Oh, right.
You know you rolled high enough that you didn't tank it. Like, you didn't tank it. So you don't have to be like, me, I'm no mutiny.
Yeah. Mutiny who? Me?
No. Heard of
it. So you know you haven't botched it, but I'm going to, through RP, let
That's
you decide.
Fine. I am giving a reasonable account. Whether Earhart believes me is up to you.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Really? I mean, I can't imagine it would be from... Who are your suspects?
Fair enough. Well, it's hard to tell. I know that Kiko will follow orders to the end. There's a history there. I won't go into it. In terms of your lot, I don't trust Sel. And I think that out of all of them, Sel is the one most likely to push for a pragmatic solution. And I suspect that if Sel were to try and take command, they may be able to get, say, Barnes on side, possibly Carter. As for Wilde, I mean, I suspect he wouldn't miss an opportunity to be an ass.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just have to, of all the things that Amelia has accused Sel of, it's finding a pragmatic solution. The one thing they have never been guilty of in their life.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of people that I trust, that leaves you and Kiko, Zolf, on the entire vessel.
All right. Well, may I speak freely, Captain?
Sure, why not?
Well, you haven't exactly done much to earn these people's trust, have you?
I'm the captain, I don't need to earn trust.
But then you have to worry about a mutiny. Also, hang on a minute, that is not the Amelia Earhart I knew.
Yeah. That lands, and she turns and goes to the desk, pulls open a drawer, it's empty, and then slams it closed again, seemingly angry.
Yeah, no drinking. Now, I understand. I understand what you're going through. We have had this conversation before. It hurts. And it's terrible. But if you're sad about, in your mind, needlessly endangering people's lives and getting them killed, why do it again?
You keep saying the word needlessly.
You said that to me. About your original crew, you said that to me.
Yeah, what we're doing now, that ain't needless.
Do you really, really think that? And I say need in a wider sense than your personal vendetta. Because that is between you and a big old dragon. That ain't with us. Right? You're dragging other people into your personal stuff, into your baggage, right? But we've got a bigger objective here. I don't think... We are literally trying to save the world. And there are not many times you can say that, and that is not a massive overstatement. But right now, it's true, okay? So as captain, you have a responsibility and a duty of care to your crew. So you need to, you know, shape up. Be a captain.
In what way am I falling short of your towering expectations, Mr. Smith?
Losing the trust of your crew. You can't just rely on me to hold people together. Now, I'm going to try. I'm the first mate and that's my job. But if a crew doesn't trust their captain, if you didn't trust your captain, and they tried to get you killed, would you mutiny?
You're asking the wrong person. Fun fact, I've never actually been a crew member.
Maybe you should try it sometime. Might change your perspective. Mm.
So what do you propose? As fun as these abstracts are, what do you actually propose?
What I propose is that you work a little more on your interpersonal skills. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hold these people together. I'm going to do my job. But you got to do yours. That's what I need from you.
Earhart looks you dead in the eye, spits in a hand and holds it out and says, I'll mind my P's and Q's, and I'll be a good little captain. And you are going to make sure that when stuff hits the engines, you know whose side you're on.
I promise I'll know whose side I'm on.
Oh, you've just prompted another roll, my friend.
Yes, that is a plump check and a half!
Plus one circumstance bonus for just, you know, being full-on, balls-out, confident.
Okay, what's your bluff?
9. Did you muck it up?
Do you take a hand and shake it?
I spit in my hand and I take it and I shake it.
Excellent. She shakes your hand?
Mm-hmm.
See to it, Mr. Smith.
Will do, Captain.
You cannot decide whether she believes you or not.
Yep. I'm a leave with a bit of a clenchy bum time.
Clenchy bum time.
Be like, oh, they can go away with it.
So, I am going to accelerate to that evening, where that was, say, late afternoon, and we're heading into evening, where people have got in the habit of chilling out on the deck for the simple reason that although it's cold, there's not really that many places to hang out in that aren't full of weapons or provisions. With that in mind, people have sort of started to build what can best be described as a sort of pseudo-bar, pseudo-bivouac kind of, like, chill-out area towards the front, towards the bow, where it's the one place that has the least amount of important stuff, apart from, like, anchoring and things. So it's the one place that if you mill around, you're not in people's way actively. And I am going to say that the night crew on work detail are Kiko and Skrark.
Aww.
Meaning that everyone else, for the first time in God knows how long, actually has an element of leisure time and are having a chill. Sigith breaks out an accordion and starts to play.
That's a in person. Oh god. In character. Yay!
Yeah. A salty sea dog if ever I did see one.
He does not sing. He just plays.
Thank goodness.
Friedrich, was it?
It was.
Yeah,
Friedrich is basically passing out some let's call it grog, stuff like that. It's watered down because you've got a long way to go, but yeah, it's okay.
So it's the question here. Do we have, basically, we've got a bunch of rubbish booze, but we have none of, like, the captain's reserve booze?
Effectively, yeah. If you want to engage with people on a social setting, now's a good time.
Aziz sets up a dartboard.
Nice.
Good shout.
And she just sort of looks at them in general and she's like, shall we have a game?
You all right?
I think I'd rather just... I'll just... Hey. Sellers.
I'll give it a go.
In there.
Have you played before?
Yeah, once or twice.
All right.
Okay. He was clearly in the college darts team.
Friedrich steps up and kind of stands awkwardly, doesn't say anything, but implies that he would like to get involved.
Excellent.
I think, actually, given that Sel is backing out, I will also back out and go sit with them.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily immediately start a conversation, but with the intent to later on, I think.
Just sure. Chilling.
That's fine.
Vibing. Okay. Azu gives Friedrich the first dart as a gesture of let's be friends.
Okay. Is it a normal-sized dart?
I mean, they're big enough that Azu could also hold them, okay?
It still is dwarfed in his enormous hands. Again, pardon the unintentional pun. Oh, yeah. His hands are to Azu's hands, as Azu remembers, like, her father's hands when she was young.
Oh. Are they mechanically large hands?
Yes, they okay. are. They are massive. They are his hands basically brush along the floor as he walks around.
So he has a large creature's hands on a medium size, or arms on a medium sized body.
He has. I didn't want to go down this route for obvious reasons, but to be clear, he has a sort of orangutan vibe in terms of like arm length relative to body, but they're not thin. They are built.
They're like that dude from the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
And they are covered now in warped tattoos. You get the impression that they might once have been good tattoos and they have been just stretched out of shape.
So something like an enlarged person that went wrong, maybe, sort of thing. Like, I'm not saying that's the reason, but that could be.
Yeah, right. We knew that it was an exposure to a magical field, right?
Yeah, yeah. He starts to throw and
breaks the board in two.
Is rubbish.
Aww.
Yes. I never was any good at games.
Well, the point isn't winning. It's having fun. How about we have two teams? And Azu, like, divides everyone into teams.
Is Azu loving it as much as Helen obviously is?
Yes!
Hamid has the opposite problem to Friedrich in that the dart is really big in his tiny hands.
Yeah, to throw it like a javelin.
He's reasonably good at throwing it accurately, but it doesn't always embed itself into the dartboard.
Oh, no.
Because he can't throw it with enough force.
I'm really glad we're not filming this, because it would take so much clever editing and forced perspective.
Is Wild there, Alex?
Wild is there, and he is quietly observing. He has a notebook in hand and is writing in it. He will not join in.
Oh. Well, Azu does offer.
He politely declines.
Where are you from originally, Friedrich? It's not a Japanese name, I guess.
Me, no. Germany originally. But times change.
Been travelling a long time.
Longer than most. Further than most. How about you?
Well, yeah, grew up in Cairo, but spent quite a long time in London and England and then all over the place for a little while before we ended up here.
Done a journey like this before?
No, we flew with Earhart once from Paris to Prague, and, I mean, yeah, the longest journey before that was probably Cairo to England on a ship. Nothing quite like this. I mean, I don't know how many people have ever done anything quite like this. What about you?
He reaches out and pats you on the shoulder with a hand that takes up most of your torso. Don't lose that optimism. And he heads over and sits for someone else to take their turn.
Barnes, how about you?
What? Have I travelled?
No, it's your go with the darts.
Oh, right. Oh, right, yeah.
What, you want an intimate backstory?
No, never!
Shut up, Barnes.
Barnes is pretty good. He's not showing off. In fact, you get the impression he's probably holding back a little bit to generate some goodwill. He's quite good, even so.
This is not even 10% of my power.
There's an awkward moment where someone asks him a question. He turns and answers the question and still throws the dart exactly where he wanted to, and then catches himself and throws the next one slightly rubbish. That kind of thing.
Okay, so Azu's going to try and start a conversation with Barnes because, like, they haven't really spoken since, to my memory, since they were in the cell together.
Oh, yeah, they all got absolutely smashed and then basically never spoke again.
Yeah. Like, Barnes just went to sleep on the stairs.
University days, really.
I'm just saying, Azu, that you're the kind of friend that you only have, you know, when we're drinking. That's the thing we have in common.
Whoa. Oh my god. No. I hope he doesn't actually say that.
He doesn't. Yeah. No, absolutely not. No.
Thank god.
I am dealing with enough horrible, horrible demons on this journey without introducing those.
Okay, so Azu says, so, you used to be a commander, an admiral, something...
little difference between the two, commander.
What was that like?
It was really nice being certain about everything, all the time. Makes things easier, you know? I'm told it's a lot like faith. I mean, I don't... I'm not a god person, you know? But, yeah, there's something to be said for knowing that the thing you're doing is right because, you know, it's... it is right, you know? It is. Because it's built in.
I agree, that is a very good feeling.
All of this cloak and dagger and suspicion and... it gets a bit much.
Hmm.
Mind you, could be worse. Smells a lot less on an airship than it does on a water vessel. Fun fact for you.
Good. So what happened? How did you end up doing all this? Apart from, you know, the end of the world, like how, you know, the rest of it.
Well, I stuck with the meritocratic navy a bit longer than I probably should have, and at first the orders were normal, then the orders were less tactical, you know?
Yes, well, to something similar.
Then the orders were bad, and then the orders were really bad. And let's put it this way, Earhart, she seems a lot more stable than the people I was having towards the end.
Oh dear.
Yeah. I was ordered to fire on a bunch of civilians, so I killed my commanding officer, if you must know.
Sounds like good for you, really.
Oh, that must have been a really tough choice. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Don't be. It was nice to be certain about something again. Just means that now I have to take my own orders to a degree. But, yeah, it wasn't the Navy by the time I left. It was what it's become. There's a reason that they're in a Navy anymore. Let's leave it at that.
I see.
But, yeah. Could be worse, like I said. Food's
at
better.
Least it's not smelly.
Exactly. Exactly. He hands the darts over for another round with everyone. I am going to wrap that socialising there, unless anyone has anything additional they want to chase on the socialising side. I'm aware that I still need to do Zolfin's cell at the other end of things. Is there anything else to do with the darts that people want, or is that just kind of initial little foray?
Yeah, that's just a little... What's your backstory?
Sexy pirate.
Breaking the ice activity, wasn't it? It was nice.
Yeah. And everyone is sad.
And here is my house's worth of marbles.
Right, I am going to jump to round things out with Zolf and Sel. Zolf, the trusted confidant, who definitely will put down any kind of mutiny that could possibly be suggested by anyone.
100%. Yeah, so, as I said, like, I'm not going to immediately try to jump into a conversation. Have a drink, and will do so if Sel doesn't start one. And obviously, if Sel leaves in a I don't want to have a conversation way, I won't, like, chase it down. So, up to you, Lid.
Oh, no, they're going to kind of... Right. Zolf? Should I call you first mate Smith?
No, Zolf is fine.
Sure.
As I said before, if there's a crisis... Listen to me if the captain ain't about, but beyond that, it's nothing. I'm just looking after Earhart. By the by, she suspects that you might be likely to mutiny.
Well, did she suspect other?
Apparently not, so that's good. But Alex, I'm making the assumption, and I feel you would have mentioned it, Earhart isn't here.
Earhart's in her cabin.
Fine. Yeah, although I think I might have got through to her a bit. We'll see how the next couple of days goes, but she had to be reminded of some of the duties of captaincy that maybe she forgot.
The problem I should make clear is off that the problem is not that she isn't polite. I I don't mind that. It's the burning fire of self-destruction. You know, I recognize that, and I know that, you know, that rage turned inwards can be almost infinite. You know, it can excuse things, and it can turn people into something monstrous. I say that because I know that, and I know that it can cause extraordinary damage to those that might happen to be nearby, and I believe that I could probably get out of almost any situation that Captain Earhart gets us into. I mean, I've heard from people things about these Russian wastes, but let me tell you, the crossing America on your own is not an easy path itself, and I would have very much liked to have had an airship of points in that time. You know, it's the other people, and it's you know, the group itself.
I would
like to protect.
Look, I'm not going to pretend I know exactly what you're talking about, but I have my own version of that, and I understand where that can come from. That is what I had a conversation with Earhart about, not about being more polite, but about allowing other people to be consumed by your own self-destructive tendencies. So we'll have to see how it goes. I'm not saying the problem is resolved. I doubt the problem is resolved, but hopefully, again, another incremental improvement. And I also want to say that your assessment of me earlier is pretty bang on, and I'm sorry about that.
I think when we're all under stress, Zolf, we can do and say difficult things, and I know that at times I'm almost too lighthearted. I understand that. You know, the crackle of electricity is a beautiful and wonderful thing most of the time, but sometimes you can be too energetic and bright, and that becomes a problem. And so I understand that may have been difficult for you in its own way. And I am glad that we've had this conversation.
Me too.
And that we can move forward together. I respect you, Zolf, and I'm looking forward to getting to know you more.
Yeah, me too.
And on that, I think I'm going to end the episode there rather than with an explosion. I don't know if it's the right call. But I want to try something
it's
new.
It's an explosion of emotion!
Whoa. I hate it. Okay, something explodes. The ship explodes with everyone in it.
No!
The only maybe the real nuts. Explosions were the friends we made along the way.
Yeah!
Well, okay, I think we have the components for a long, sad, and interesting journey, right?
Yay!
Hopeful. Hopeful.
Slow burn, baby.
Yeah, slow burn.
Gonna have a kiss at the end.
What's this arc? Is it a sort of pseudo conspiracy arc where you don't know who to trust? There's mutinies that run rife and everyone's fighting for control? Nah, had a full airship.
Love in a Time of Hardship, which is a really good Campbell novel, actually, one of his earlier ones.
Well, whilst I write that
it's
into
time
the
to
canon,
write our
I
own think... Campbell novel, baby.
Yeah, a little bit. Right, until then, we'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening.
Can everyone please either take your headphones off or something, apart from Bryn? I need to ask something of Bryn.
Ooh, secret! He's using the technology for mystery.
Ooh. Editor, you may want to cut this anyway. Bryn.
Hi, everyone. Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Ron Dempsey, Ashley Coles, Casafrasayan, Paul Potato, Inga Everson, Grace Tallman, Mikey Reed Kane, Francesca Monti, Bailey Moore, Katie Dibb, Algie, Julia R., Skeet Post, Aline Bischoff, Ilse Vanderkemp, Valerie Sizemore, Carnessa, Quintastic, Erin Kemery, Lidge, Kiara McGuigan, Danielle Rutowski, Angel, Sydney Wood, Kaylee Rowena, Anya Tjoch, Murray Uwu, Jay, XPityX, Seb Ponce, Grace Francese, Gemma A, Alexander Nicholas, Bridget Beattie, S. Pollock, Basil, Cara Somberg, Jess Marie, Binthibub, Stephanie Ann Sorter, Charlie, Bailey Wind, Tanya Angel, Charlotte Hassel, Eli, Maya Cousins, Chris Twohy, Kristen C. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.